to another Falsi video. Today we're studying the slippery slope argument. The slippery slope argument is where we argue that some small change is going to inevitably lead to some sort of larger catastrophe or series of events that we don't want. This kind of reasoning plays to our fears, the fear of the unknown, or just the fear of what could happen, and then says this is the gateway to that thing, which makes it pretty effective. The issue with a slippery slope argument is that it just completely skips over the causal link between thing A and thing B, or more like thing Z, because the structure of the argument is thing A happens, therefore that will lead to thing Z happening without explaining how B, C, D, E, F, G is ever going to occur. The most famous example is probably the gateway drug example. If we allow marijuana or if we legalize marijuana, then people will start using hard drugs like cocaine, and then we'll have a city full of addicts, or a country, a nation full of addicts. There's no causal link between thing A and thing Z here in this case. Every step in the argument needs to have evidence in order to be valid. You can't just say thing A, thing Z, and people will, propose this series of events that will make this happen, but there needs to be evidence to validate those premises as well. The most common examples of slippery slope arguments that you hear always have to do with legalizing something or sometimes making something illegal. I saw quite a lot of this after the results of the election. The next day I opened up TikTok and there was this creator and she created a video and after the election was called and she said,
"I'm scared to go to sleep. I might wake up a motherfucking slave."
Trump winning the election, slavery becoming legalized. We need some other steps in there. So why is this slippery slope argument so effective? Well, like I said, it plays on our fear instinct. We're naturally hardwired to avoid risk. This is a very well-known biological phenomenon because if you are, let's say you're an animal out in the wild and you hear some rustling in the grass or a twig break, it could be the wind, it could be a predator. If you pretend it's a predator and you run away, then that maximizes your survival advantage. And yes, it's most often going to be nothing, but it's actually kind of a Pascal's wager. The penalty for running away from nothing is nothing. The penalty for not running away from something might be death. The availability heuristic might come into play. Some sort of disaster or national tragedy may occur, and then people will jump on that. You never want to let a tragedy go to waste. And they'll start claiming that if we allow blank to happen, then more examples of that are going to happen. Our brains are hardwired not just for risk avoidance, but also to seek patterns. Have you ever wondered why we see faces in the clouds, but nobody's ever looked at somebody's face and said, "Oh, that looks like a cloud"? We look up at the constellations and we say, "Oh, that's a bear," when it looks absolutely nothing like a bear. That is almost certainly playing a factor in the slippery slope argument, because we say the kind of behavior or the thing going on here is what leads to this other thing, but that's a false pattern. Look who decided to join us. Along with politicians, the media is also pretty guilty of pushing these types of worst case scenario options or trying to predict the future. But as we've talked about before, pundits are basically hacks and their ability to predict the future is really bad. Some other specific examples: if we allow same-sex marriage, then next thing you know, people will be marrying animals. There's no logical connection in there at all. If we're allowing heterosexual marriages, then what's to stop brothers and sisters from getting married? Oh no, the traditional sense of marriage is going to lead to incest. Nobody who can think thinks that that's the case. And nobody who isn't a hateful bigot thinks that humans, two adult people forming a consensual relationship, is the gateway to bestiality. That argument is used because it plays on people's fears, and what's also very effective is emotional sense of disgust to try to dissuade people. If we ban assault weapons, then the next step will be banning all guns. And then eventually the government will confiscate every gun in America and we'll have concentration camps. It's healthy to be skeptical of governments, and you can't just, like, I understand the point of, well, we're just trying to concede one thing here, right? It's like the argument of, well, we're only raising taxes by 0.5%. Well, if that's fine, then it's going to be fine when they do it again 5 years from now. And then when they do it again. And then when they do it again. This is another classic example of using fear and failing to account for the fact that in the first place, we don't have unlimited freedoms. Modifying already existing freedoms, which do have restrictions, is not necessarily the pathway to completely forfeiting a freedom. Now, a slippery slope argument can be valid if there is a clear causal mechanism, a historical precedent, or something similar to that we can point to. For example, environmental policy. If we allow one company to dump pollutants into the river, it will set a precedent that other companies will demand the same privilege, leading to widespread pollution. This literally did happen. The Cuyahoga River caught fire because it was so polluted. Today, there are people who want to roll back environmental protections, but we know that that could very easily lead to this because it did lead to that, and then we did something about it. This is like when people, idiots like Charlie Kirk, say that we should get rid of the Civil Rights Act because, well, you think businesses are just going to start segregating again and schools will start segregating again just because we get rid of the civil rights legislation? Everybody knows that that's wrong, except public opinion was pushed by that policy. Yes, policy does shift the moral consciousness of the population. Sorry, deal with it. If your bullshit detector is going off, if you think somebody's making this slippery slope argument, it's fairly easy to deal with. Simply ask for evidence. Can the other person give you any real-world examples of this thing happening, or can they give you the steps that would occur in between? Again, a common political argument is, if we start doing this, like, I don't know, banning hate speech or some sort of gun reform, then we'll end up like, I don't know, some fascist or socialist dictatorship in the early 20th century. Well, you could just point out that America is not that kind of country, so that happening in a place with totalitarian rule is not like what we would expect to happen here. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Next time, we are going to take a look at the false dichotomy. Bye-bye!